Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks. Move on. Now all the Hawks. Here come the Hawks.
Welcome in to a bit of an impromptu episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey on Twitter at DMelt57. The Hawks made a pretty big trade today, or just at least an interesting one. So we got a couple line mates with me this evening to talk about it. Up first, we have the Second City Hockey Bullen Wall of Text, and she's at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. It's Betsy.
Hi. That news dropped while I was in the middle of a meeting, and I was like, ha-ha, this is more important.
More important than the meeting, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
okay. I just want to make sure we had, it's a meeting. It sounds like you have plenty of those every week anyway.
Yes. I am in a corporate landscape of like nothing but meetings. And then you're like, when do I actually get work done? I'm not totally sure.
Hopefully this doesn't resemble one of those meetings. I think you're probably allowed to do more swearing in here than you are in your other meetings.
I mean, it depends on who I'm meeting with, because
okay.
We're in a creative field, so.
Ah, there you go. Yes, and sometimes swearing is very creative.
Yes.
Also with us this evening, I believe calling in from the road, so hopefully there's no traffic issues all the way there, but official podcast introduction still yet to be determined. It's Eric Gegenheimer.
As the official Chicago delegate, I feel I must report I have now watched both seasons of the show The Bear. I do not know if it's good or if I like it, but I have watched both seasons. So there is that.
What is leaving you on the fence of whether you like it or not?
I haven't fully bought in yet. Like, things happen and I'm just kind of, I don't particularly care that much. And to me, I mean, that's the hallmark of when you're really... Most of your favorite shows you like watching because it's almost kind of like you like hanging out with your friends, like in the simplest terms. Right. I don't know that I really like hanging out with any of those people or I feel like I need to, but yet I'm still watching. And I watched the whole thing last year. I watched the whole one this year in, you know, the span of 2 days or whatever. So obviously they're doing something interesting. Maybe I just haven't figured out what yet.
I feel like for most people I know that are in or near Chicago and you hear all the references to the city and I've heard they're like very detailed, specific references. And the novelty of that can be cool for 3 or 4 episodes, but then after a while that starts to wear off a little bit. And then you need like an actual good show to watch. And I've seen mixed reviews on whether or not that is the case.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some really cool stuff, especially with Chicago restaurants. And I like food very much, I think, as we all do.
Can't confirm.
And there was a couple that they name dropped or they location dropped in this season that I know and kind of are near and dear to me. So I appreciate that. But like you said, yeah, at the end of the day, that's, I can just also go to those restaurants. I don't need to watch them on a TV show. I can go eat the actual food.
Mm, yeah. Well,
is that the show with the shameless guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he takes over his brother. His brother commits suicide and like leaves him his Italian beef stand, the family's Italian beef stand. And he's like this kind of big high-to-do, Michelin star chef. And he comes back to Chicago to take over the family beef stand and a bunch of stuff happens.
But it's not in the same world as Shameless, right?
No. Shameless is about like a really poor, poor family.
Yeah. And like it was filmed in Chicago. I never watched it. I know it was filmed in Chicago. I don't know if it was set in Chicago, though.
Yeah, it was.
It was, yeah.
It was. Okay. Well, the only thing I know about The Bear is that it's heavily in beef. And speaking of that, we've got a pretty meaty trade to get to with our discussions. Yes, yes, thank you. I'm proud of that one. So the Blackhawks made a trade today. They traded Ian Mitchell and Alec Regula to the Boston Bruins, and in return, they got former Hart Trophy winner Taylor Hall, as well as the rights to Nick Foligno, who is an unrestricted free agent. But it does seem like, based off a statement that came out from GM Kyle Davidson, that they're going to throw him some more money and keep him around for however long the contract is. So I just have my just initial question. I'll throw this over to Betsy. What was your first reaction when you saw this trade?
I was excited because, one, that was one of the things that I was like, they should go for Taylor Hall. Boston has to get rid of people. Why not leverage that? Like, I mean, so many teams took advantage of the Blackhawks. Yes. Cap hell. And this way, Boston at least gets something. Like, you can't, you know, Taylor Hall is at least a good player, like, in his prime. It's not, like, just throwing away a player. So at least they got something. It's not great. I mean, Regula might be able to do something, and we like Mitchell, but not like a lot anymore.
Well, our bandwagon, the tires were, it was pretty much up on blocks at this point. So
yeah, but this kind of like eases like Boston a little bit, like their ego a little bit, while essentially getting Taylor Hall for nothing.
Right.
The last time he got traded for a second. So what ended up eventually being a second. So Taylor Hall is in the back of his prime. He didn't have a great season last year. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. He was mostly on the third line, but that's fine because we don't need him to be great. We just need him to be serviceable while playing with an elite kid, you know, and he's used to that. Taylor Hall has quite the history of playing with first round picks. So, you know, I think it's great. We were all talking about like maybe Bedard needs leadership and stuff like that. I don't know how leadershipy Taylor Hall is, but the other guy in the trade could totally be that. Like, that's one of his whole thing. He's a great locker room guy.
Oh, my captain. He was a captain in Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've hit two marks if they sign Foligno. If they don't, that's not that big a deal either, but it'd be cool if they did. And he probably will get more money.
Yeah. The Hawks can afford to give him more money than anybody else.
Then he's worth, yeah.
Yeah.
And sure, he's at best, a third liner. And that's on a bad team. So, yeah, I was excited about this. This is a good move. It's smart without, like, breaking the bank in any way. Didn't give up really anything that they can't afford to give up, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Eric, what about you?
At first, I kind of was in the middle. And then I saw Taylor Hall's numbers for last year. And granted, this is on like a historically all-time good team. And they didn't need him to do a lot. But I guess I also didn't realize he had kind of come back to earth that much. Yeah. So there was a part of me that was waiting for where's the pick? Where's the other thing that Boston is giving them to take the salary? And I guess maybe that's just Foligno in this case. But I guess, so depending on what type of deal they end up giving Foligno, if they give him a one-year deal and it's for significant money, then I kind of like this a lot more because that says to me that they're going to try to trade him at the deadline. And I'm assuming they're going to try to rebuild a little bit of value for Taylor Hall, and then they could retain some of his salary and, in theory, trade him at the deadline too, if you think you're going to go try to sign a couple free agents next summer when you don't have to worry about the floor anymore. So I wanted somebody maybe a little bit younger and maybe a little bit more of a lottery ticket that probably came with a pick if they were going to do that type of deal to play with Bedard. But it's, I mean, Taylor Hall's what would you consider him to be, their second or third best forward at this point, outside of Connor Bedard? So it's kind of hard to argue or be upset with that, that they got that for nothing and all they have to do is pay money for it. I mean, it's essentially the same as a free agent signing then, right? So they signed Taylor Hall for 2 years, $6 million per. That's better to me than Max Domi. It's better to me than, you know, JT Compher at that same money. So at first I was just kind of a little underwhelmed, but the more I thought about it, I think the more I like it.
To put into perspective his like point rate on that Boston team. First of all, he played with like not their best players, right? But on top of that, he would have been third on the Blackhawks for his points rate, point per game rate, behind Kane and Domi. So yeah, he would have been above everybody else. So if you look at who they still have on the team, and the only like you're looking like, okay, so Bedard's obviously hopefully going to be putting up at least 0.8, right? And then you've got Reichel, who last year did 0.65 in a small sample. Well, okay, you put Hall up there. If he can at least do, because he did a 0.60 essentially, yeah, that's not bad. That would be like 50 points, which is second line production on any other team. And on the Blackhawks, that's solid. Like, yeah, if you can do that.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if that gets a significant bump, too. When we talked to Dante from the Pats, you know, the one thing that he said was he felt like there was probably 10 to 15 assists that got left on the table for Bedard based on the kind of the quality of the teammate not being able to finish a play. And Taylor Hall is definitely a finisher, and at least he has been at points throughout his career. So assuming that the two of them are going to be playing together and they develop, you know, a decent amount of chemistry, I think, you know, I don't know who we played with offhand, you know, on the third line of Boston last year, but I would assume that it's Connor Bedard would be a better quality of, you know, facilitator. At least that's what we're all hoping. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that get a nice little bump too.
I'll look up real quick. Hold on.
Yeah. Like with Taylor Hall, like I'm looking at his points per 60, all his point production rates over his career. And historically, like he was at 1.9 last season, points per 60, which is roughly in line with a lot of his, like, they don't have a career mark here at Natural Stat Trick, but I mean, if you go back the last 5 years, it's 2.3, 2.8, 1.3, 2.13, and 1.73. So it's not, he was not significantly down last season. He only played 60 games. And if you take his point total and project it out over an 82 game season, he's probably up around the 50 point mark, roughly speaking. So, like, there is, it feels like more than anything else, this is like a legitimate NHL caliber top six forward that's added to a team that I didn't think the Hawks were going to be able to get one at all. And through free agency or trade or whatever, it seemed like there were just going to be a lot of scrap heaps. It gives Connor Bedard another player to work with. And if Hall doesn't skate with Bedard, you also could throw him with Reichel or with Kurashev or with somebody. I think there is something to be gained from getting your NHL level, your youngsters like Bedard and Reichel, to have them with NHL caliber talents to play with, so they can see what it looks like when you make a pass to an NHL caliber teammate and they can score a goal with it. To your point, Eric, about what Dante said with Bedard was making passes to guys who couldn't handle it and turn it into a goal. Taylor Hall might be able to do that. And then, you know, you pump Taylor Hall's tires for 50, 60 games, he ends up with a ton of points or whatever, and then his value soars for next year's deadline. So I have a hard time finding anything to dislike about this trade, save for the Ian Mitchell bandwagon officially being dead, but the tires broke down about 20 miles ago anyway, so what's the point of complaining about that? That milk has been spilled. So
well. Taylor Hall's most common line mates in Boston were Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick. Technically he played more with David Krejci, how you say his last name?
Krejci.
Yeah.
Overall, but like with a bunch of different like people. Pavel Zaka? Zaka? Is that
sounds about right.
You know, I'm not gonna Zaka. Be able to,
we don't care about that team.
And I'm terrible about pronunciation, and they all got like 30-ish points in slightly less games than I guess Hall played. So I mean, on a team as stacked as the Bruins were, it's kind of like we had Marian Hossa playing on the third line in 2015. Like, you yeah, know, yeah, like we'd put Patrick Sharp, Vermette, and Teravainen as our third line in the playoffs that year. Like, it's okay that he was on the third line. He could have played the top line fine if they needed him.
I love that third line too. That might be my favorite third line.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
So
it was absolutely ridiculous.
So here's my question for you two, and we'll do this kind of as a group thing, but like, it's kind of early in the process, so maybe we'll have more time to digest this, and maybe we'll put it into an article later. But I think the general idea is kind of setting expectations now for Taylor Hall, because this is not a fourth line grinder that the Hawks acquired, but it's like he did win a Hart Trophy, which I mentioned at the top, but that was also like 5-6 years ago. He's 31 years old, so he's beyond what would most people would categorize as an NHL prime. But he's still a pretty good hockey player. Like, I don't think he's certainly not a slouch. Like, I don't think this is like I said, not the fourth line grinder type. So I don't. Do you have a rough number in mind, or just kind of a ballpark of an early estimate of where like a point total we think he might end up in? Because I feel like I'm in the, like, if he plays with Bedard a lot, like I feel like 60 to 70 points isn't wholly out of the question. What do you guys think?
I would, I would definitely agree with you. But I would kind of look at it from a different way too. He's a definite top six forward. And so him, Bedard, Reichel, like you're starting to kind of see at a top six form. And so, yeah, I think anywhere like 50 to 70 points, but that's the talent level that he has. And that's like, that's significant. That's a significant get, again, for nothing, for giving up RFA rights.
For two guys who weren't going to be here long-term anyway. So,
yeah.
Betsy, what about you?
So, yeah, I think anywhere between 50 and 70. I think if he can get what would have projected out to 82 game, like an 82 game point level, would have been around 50-ish points. And he did that with Charlie Coyle. He could get more than that with Bedard if he's healthy. He's like, last year was the first time he really missed a whole lot of like he played a lot, but then he also missed some time. He did miss, he had a couple of seasons where he had some downtime. But the year before that, he played practically the entire season. I think he only missed one game because they sat players at the end of the season. So it really depends on his health. But I think if he hits anywhere between like a 0.6 per game to like a 0.7, you should be happy, because Bedard is probably picking up assists from other players or goals from other players and by himself that Taylor Hall is not going to like factor into. So, yeah, I think that's a comfortable point total. And that's good for them.
Do you know, too, I don't think he was on Boston's top power play. And I'm assuming, of course, he should be on the Blackhawks' top power play.
That's exactly the point I was going to get to, Eric, is that I wouldn't say he was on the top power play unit, because he was averaging about 2 minutes a game on the power play, and usually the top guys are up closer to three. I'm going to pull this up as I'm talking, so we'll...
He was seventh on their team with 214 a game.
Okay. So, yeah, that sounds like second power play unit. And if I think with this 50 to 70 range we're casting, if he goes to the Blackhawks' top power play and the power play performs better, I think you're going to see him up near that 70-point mark. And if the power play sucks again all season, it'll probably be down near the 50-point mark. That might be the wrinkle. But if you go back like earlier in Taylor Hall's career when he was getting top power play time, again, back in the prime of his career, so these levels of expectations might be a little bit too high. But I mean, during the 17-18 season with New Jersey, he had 37 points on the power play, so 13 goals and 24 assists. I wouldn't expect that level again, but if you get 20 points on the power play and 40 at even strength, you know, 60 point season is pretty good for a top six forward at a $6 million per, so not bad.
I don't know if he'll get
20 is a bit aggressive. All right, let's go down to 15 then.
But he could. Like last year, he got 15, and he bounced between the top unit and the second unit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm as we're talking here, I'm pulling up Taylor Radish's stats because he was the power play leader. He had 15 points on the Hawks power play last season, and I think it's fair to say that Taylor Hall is more offensively gifted than Taylor Radish is. So maybe high teens. Okay. But yeah, I think, Eric, one of your questions that we discussed in the roundtable article at the website today was the top power play unit. And now it's like, so we got Hall, Bedard, Reichel, Korchinski, Seth Jones. That's it, right? There's your five. That's probably your five most offensively gifted players on the team.
You want two D-men?
Yeah, I know most people are doing the one D-men and four forwards these days, but
I mean, Krajinski acts like he could be a forward if he wanted to be. He's that gifted offensively. So,
well, and they did that a little bit last year. That was really in the second one, though. They do Caleb Jones and Ian Mitchell out there at the same time.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. So they're not going to shy away from that if it seems like that's the best option for them.
Yeah, I don't. I just, it's. So the last thing I wanted to ask you two, because I was talking about this with people on Twitter today, and then I think it came up in the comments as well. When was the last time the Blackhawks made a trade that made them better on the ice immediately? And I was going all the way back to the Seth Jones trade, which was 2 years ago. And like, again, some people might debate how much that better it made them on the ice, but they went from Boqvist to Seth Jones. So I think that's an upgrade. But does anybody else have a different trade in mind?
Obviously, you can just throw out the entire last year. Yeah. That's not what they were doing at all.
Like every trade was getting rid of current talent for future picks and prospects.
What was first? Was Fleury first? Or I mean, it's all kind of lumped into the same amount of time.
Seth Jones first.
Okay, and then Johnson, and then Fleury.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the Marc-Andre Fleury trade might have come after, because that was right around free agency. So, but either way, those were all 2 years ago.
I understand, it's not – Seth Jones definitely was better. So it definitely made the team a better team. It just wasn't a great trade.
It wasn't a good trade.
For the time or what was given up.
We've done that show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, several times, I think.
If you're looking back before that, I don't even know. Like, Vermette? I don't. Vermette, yeah.
God, Jesus. Because
you got to think about, like, when they traded Panarin, and they got Saad and they got Anisimov, but that didn't make them better. It made them slightly better defensively, but, like, overall, it still made the team quality go down. And then. Before that, you had Hjalmarsson for like the same time. Hjalmarsson for Murphy, which at the time Hjalmarsson was still better than Murphy. Murphy was going to be good, but he hadn't gotten there yet. And at the time, Hjalmarsson wasn't injured; like he didn't have his injury history that he got literally that next season.
Yeah.
And then before that, they traded for Ladd. That didn't. Yeah. Pan out.
I was trying to think of something in the very late teens or early 20s, but like it feels like every trade has been made for like a future asset. And so now it is a wonderful development that there is a Blackhawks trade that happened and it added to the team immediately. And that it's like a good thing. I think this is kind of indicative of the changing fortunes and the changing situation of where we are. Where the Blackhawks are right now, because the tanking I think is over.
At least we hope, because I mean we literally just signed Fleury and Seth Jones, and they went on to have a historically bad opening season.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it did. Like the team actually was worse. to start.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously hockey's a team sport, but I think on the surface level, yes, this is a
And I think the other. Like with this trade, like this does not, I don't think it puts the Hawks in any sort of playoff contention or anything like that. It makes them a little bit more watch, another reason to watch next season. Because you know that Connor Bedard's going to have someone to play with. Go ahead, Eric.
No, absolutely. And another thing it kind of does is it reinforces like Davidson's, he's gotten off to a pretty good start. Like his track record for the moves that he's made. And, we're talking about all these other moves. Those were all Bowman. He's come in and even just kind of letting Mitchell and Regula go, even if this is the way that they did it, like even that in itself is just kind of showing that it feels like we're kind of, we're seeing something and they're kind of seeing the same thing, which is, let's make some space. Let's let these kids get in. Let's let these kids play. All right. We need to get some people that are going to be able to help Bedard and play with him and hang with him. And so they're doing, a lot of like really positive things around that already. And they have a lot of picks. They have a lot of salary they could take on still. So that's just kind of like another really good benefit of that is you're seeing, you know, that Kyle's making some good trades. He's making some good moves.
So what I'm hearing is all that is Kyle Davidson listens to these podcasts and he's taking our advice, or he's at least reading our website. So you're welcome, Kyle, and everyone else that we're presenting all these really good ideas and they're running with them.
We're ready for you to hire us anytime, bro.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll tell you what, though. Next year is going to be funny because there's literally only two players signed currently to next season. Not this upcoming season, the season after that, the 2024, 25. And Taylor Hall is one of them. Literally the guy they picked up is one of the only two players that is signed this season.
Well, yeah. Well, Bedard will have his entry-level deal. And then, that's the thing. It's like by the end of next season, it will be interesting to see how many Blackhawks prospects on entry-level deals occupy that forward space. But yeah, it is for the 24-25 season, it is Taylor Hall and Andreas Athanasiou. That's it. No other forwards are under contract beyond the upcoming season. That's hilarious.
That's also good, though, too.
But yeah.
I mean, you don't want to commit a bunch of term to any of these guys right now because everybody's still in somewhere in the CHL or they're in college, you know, like all the kids you're going to want to see.
I thought it was funny. Even Reichel is a RFA next season.
Okay.
I was looking at the other kids. There's only like a couple, a handful, like the ones that just signed, you know, Hayes, Rolston, Doc, those guys. Those are the only ones that are signed.
Well, hey, we've talked about this a little bit before, but that summer, free agents include Austin Matthews, Sebastian Aho, Willie Nylander, Sam Reinhart on the unrestricted free agent category. Jake Gensel's on there. Granted, some of these guys might re-sign between now and then. Tavo's out there. Brett Seabrook's an unrestricted free agent next summer. Throw another $8 million in him for 7 years. It worked out so well the first time.
Tampa Bay Lightning legend, Brett Seabrook.
Yes. All right. I think any other final thoughts? I mean, we really just wanted to do a quick hitter and talk about this really quick because I think it was kind of fun. Like this was it's been a while since there was a trade where you're like, oh, this guy's going to be on the team next season and I'm excited to watch him. So Eric, any final thoughts or words?
Yeah, no, just kind of that. And that's building off like the draft night. Like there's genuine excitement. And I think anything that's a positive is just kind of adding on to that. Like, you know, I always appreciated watching Taylor Hall on other teams. He's really, really good. He's a really good hockey player. So it'll be cool to see him come in. And, you know, this is more excitement. This is the best trade we've had in a couple of years for the Blackhawks. So yeah, it's a good one. Maybe go do another one or two and let's see what we got.
Yeah. It's fun to be excited about a season again. Betsy, what about you?
I think it'll be interesting with Taylor Hall because there were like some rumblings that part of the reason he didn't want to be in New Jersey was that he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild, that he wanted to go for a cup, and now he's gotten traded to the ultimate rebuild currently. but he also, I think last year was the Bruins' chance and it's gone now. So he wasn't going to go again with the cup with the Bruins anyway. So might as well, you know, beef up his stats and then go into his next contract and get more money. He could be doing it, or beef up his stats and get traded.
Exactly. That's where I was going. You know, have a really good regular season, 50, 60 games before the deadline, get flipped to a contender and take your chances there. Cause that's
even if it's not this year, cause he's got another year, the Blackhawks could eat half of his contract for both years if they wanted to, but next year would be even better. So it's a win-win for him in a situation where he's going to play with what is going to be one of the best players, fingers crossed, next season.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this impromptu episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you so much for listening to this. Thanks to everyone who's been visiting the website. I know we had a lot of people there today talking about Taylor Hall, so that's a lot of fun. Again, Wednesday night, draft party at the Streetside Saloon. Did I say that right? I almost called it the West Side Saloon. It's not the West Side Saloon. Side Street Saloon. Thank you, Eric, getting the place wrong. It's at 1456 West George Street in Lakeview. I'm going to be there. Eric's going to be there. Betsy, start driving. We'll see. We'll see you there as well. Just kidding, Bo. She's not going to be there, but maybe one of these days. But yeah, so come hang out at our draft party, and we'll have some more episodes and stuff when all this draft and free agency stuff wraps up next week, and we will talk to you then.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.